Well, it really is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And even the weather seems to have dropped a little bit. It's a little bit colder outside. But I'm sure it doesn't take you too long to switch on your television before you start to notice all of the Christmas advertisements. All of those advertisements were trying to show us things that we really want to add to our Christmas wish lists. And maybe that list of yours is getting longer and longer and longer. Maybe you have nipped into some of the supermarkets with mom or dad whenever they're doing their shopping. And while you're there with them doing the shopping, you're seeing all kinds of things on the aisles and on the shelves. So many things that you want and you didn't even know that you wanted. But you see them and they get added to your list because you think, that's cool. I would like one of those. And your list just gets longer and longer and longer. Perhaps you've even got your Christmas tree up and your house is already decorated for Christmas. And you've got that little space below the tree where you want some presents to go. Maybe, first of all, the presents that you will buy for your friends and for your family. You'll buy them, you'll wrap them up, and you'll set them beneath the tree before you give them out. And then you hope that there are going to be some people who bring you gifts and presents, and they're also going to be sitting beneath the tree so that you can have so much excitement on Christmas Day, pulling off the wrapping paper and seeing what's underneath. It's so exciting. There's just something wonderful about Christmas. But maybe you just get filled with curiosity. I mean, you see all of those gifts sitting before you. You see them all sitting under the tree, and you're just dying to get at them. And maybe there are times whenever you go to some of those gifts and you'll pick them up and you'll test them for their weight to see if you can figure out what could that be. And you'll maybe even give it a little shake to see if it makes a sound that you recognize. I mean, doesn't Lego have that sound that we all recognize just even inside the box when it's wrapped up? And we maybe give it a little shake and we maybe touch all around the outside of the paper, don't we? We kind of want to touch it and see what it is. As if our fingers somehow have X-ray vision to let us work out what's underneath the wrapper. But just sometimes we get so excited about the presents, we just want to get in there. We just want to get our hands on it. And we just want to see what's under the wrapping paper. And maybe even for you today, sitting in a church building, you maybe see all of these gifts and parcels and things all wrapped up in. Maybe you're already starting to get a little bit curious. I mean, you just would love to know what's inside some of the boxes. What kind of stuff have we brought along and what are we going to see tonight? Well, you're just going to have to wait a little bit longer and then we'll discover what's underneath the wrapping paper and what little lessons that we can learn. You see, there's two little things I want us to think about today. I want us to think tonight about buying gifts, and I want us to think about receiving gifts. Buying and receiving. We're maybe going to discover tonight, what type of buyer are you? What type of person are you whenever it comes to buying gifts? And then maybe what kind of attitudes do you have to the gifts that you receive? And tonight you'll have to forgive me, you'll hear lots of personal stories about our reactions to some of our gifts. And maybe you think to yourself, yeah, I've had those reactions too. But the most important thing I want you to remember tonight, while we're covering all of these things, God too is the giver of gifts. And what is his attitude towards giving gifts? And then what is your attitude towards the gifts that God is giving? And maybe tonight you will find out what your attitude is towards God's gifts. That's what we're going to think about just for a wee while here tonight. The buying of gifts. The first thing you're going to think about whenever you're buying gifts, three things, I think. You're going to be trying to work out, how much money do I have? How much money do I have to spend? How many gifts do I have to buy? And who am I buying them for? And how much is that gift going to be? Because maybe through school, whenever you're buying gifts, maybe you do a secret Santa, and you draw someone's name just randomly out of a hat, and there their name is on a little piece of paper, and you're being told you can only spend £2 to buy a Secret Santa present. And that's quite easy. Because there you go, you travel down to Poundland. You've got your £2 coin. You have a little look at what's on the shelves and what's in the racks. And you just choose something. You just make a simple choice. Something under £2. But what about your best friend? Surely your best friend's worth more than just £2. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, I want to spend maybe between £5 and £10 on my best friend. And then what about your parents or your brother and sister? I'm sure you would want to spend a wee bit more on them. And you've got to think about, that's what I would love to buy my dad, but I just can't afford it. It's a wee bit too dear based upon all the other gifts I have to buy. Don't you have to budget? Don't you have to learn in school how to deal with your pounds and your pence? Don't you have to deal with how much money you have and only spend the amount of money that you have got? You learn all that stuff in school, and it's so useful when it comes to December and we're buying all these types of gifts. But what type of buyer are you? I think that there are three types of buyers, and I think maybe you're one of them. Are you the type of buyer, and is your attitude a little bit like this? That'll do rightly. Oh, that'll do rightly. Anything to get the shopping experience over and done with. You don't want to be walking from shop to shop and from row to row and from shelf to shelf. You just want to get in there and buy the first thing you see. You know, that'll do rightly. Is that the type of buyer that you are? Maybe so. Or perhaps you have this type of attitude. What's in it for me? What can I get out of it? Because maybe whenever you're going to go and buy a gift, maybe you think to yourself, when I'm buying a gift from a brother or my sister, I'm going to buy them a toy or a game, something that I want to play, something that I like, something that I enjoy. And whenever I give it to them, they'll get fed up with it after a wee while. Then they'll pass it to me and I get to play with it. I get to play with the toy or the game that I have bought. What's in it for me? Or maybe you're buying some chocolates for your mum. And rather than buying the chocolates that she likes, you think, I'm going to buy the chocolates I like because my mum always shares them with me. And I know if I buy the ones that I like, I'm going to get a share of them. And maybe you're thinking, what's in it for me? Maybe, wives, you are guilty of this. And maybe you like to buy a nice weekend away for your husband and for you at Christmas time because you want the little holiday, you want the little break, and you know that your husband just won't even think about it. It won't go through his mind. So you buy it because you're going to get something out of it. It's not up to me to say, well, that happens in your household, but that might have happened in our household just once or twice. What type of buyer are you? Are you the type of buyer that will do rightly? Are you the type of buyer, what's in it for me? Or are you thinking to yourself, I really want to get the best gift I can possibly buy? And you're thinking about that person, what's their hobbies? What are their interests? What are their likes? What are their dislikes? You're prepared to walk from shop to shop, from row to row, from aisle to aisle. You're prepared to look at and evaluate everything until you find the very best gift. Something is going to fill that person who's going to receive it. Something's going to fill them with joy. Something is going to put a big smile on their face whenever they receive it. Maybe that's the type of giver that you are. But whenever I think my way through the Bible, it reminds me too that God is a giver of gifts. And I wonder, what type of giver do you think he is? I mean, do you think he's the type of person who thinks to himself, that will do rightly? Is he the type of person who thinks to himself, what's in it for me? Or do you think whenever he's giving gifts, does he think, what is the best that I can give? What is the best possible gift that I can offer to you and that I can let you have? I think if we think about it honestly, the only right answer is that God, he gives the best. He gives the best possible gifts. How do we know that? Well, it tells us in the book of John, John chapter 3 and verse 16. It tells us there something about the gifts that God gives and how he gives them. John 3:16. For God, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gives his gifts out of love for you. Have you ever took the time to think to yourself that your Creator God, he actually really loves you and he cares for you, he has compassion for you, and out of love he's offering you a gift. And do you know what the gift is? It's eternal life. I mean, who wouldn't want eternal life? I mean, who wouldn't want this gift? And God, he has that on offer this evening. But God, since the creation of time, do you know what he's always wanted? He's always wanted obedience. He's always wanted people to be obedient to him out of love, out of a heart of love. I mean, way back in the beginning of time, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, right at the very start, that God created everything, and there he put Adam and Eve, the first two people in the garden with one tree. And here's what he said to them. You can eat all of the fruit and vegetables in this place except that one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat the fruit of that tree because that's the way you're going to show me obedience. That's the way you're going to show your love for me. No, not just say that you love me, but you're going to show it through your actions by not taking the fruit from that tree. But the problem, you know, came about whereby Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. They went to the tree, they saw it was good for food. And the Bible says that Adam, he took that fruit and he ate it. He was disobedient to God. He broke God's one and only rule, and therefore sin came into the world. And that has affected everyone who has ever lived. And the Bible tells me that also affects you. Because God, he wants you to obey him out of love, to show him respect. Because maybe in your household, the Christmas tree is already there and there are some gifts around the tree and your parents already said to you, you can't touch the Christmas present underneath the tree, not until Christmas Day. And your parents, they want your obedience. They want you to show respect for their authority, not to go near them, not to touch them, not to pick at the sellotape, not to try and get into them. They want you to obey them. And it's exactly the same with God. And you know that if you disobey your parents, if you rummage through the parcels, if you open them up, you're going to be in trouble. And that's exactly what God says. There's trouble for breaking his laws and his rules. It's sin. That's how I came into the world. Our son, he went to the Royal School in Armagh. Let me tell you what happened one day they were in the Royal. In chemistry class, somebody got paper towels and they thought it would be funny to do a prank. And they got the paper towels and they put them down inside one of the plug holes. They started to run the water so it was running into the sink until the water overflowed one of the benches and it damaged some of the GCSE coursework. And everyone in the whole of the class, they all got put on daily detention day after day after day after day until the culprit was discovered, until someone came forward to say, it was me. And they took the blame. But everybody was found guilty. Everyone was being punished until the culprit came forward. But the difference between that little example and sin is that everybody is guilty of sin. It wasn't just Adam in the Garden of Eden. You will know that there are many times in your life whenever you have been jealous and wanted things that other people have. There have been times whenever you have lost your temper and you have got angry without cause. There are times whenever you would cheat on a test if you thought you could get away with it. There are times you've been disrespectful to your parents. Maybe there's even times you have used God's name as a swear word and had no time to think about him or give him no care or attention. But the amazing thing about God's gift of salvation, even though you break his rules, even though you have done all of these wrong things, even though you have sinned, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, here's what it says. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. It's while you were doing those wrong things. It's while you had those thoughts and those attitudes. It was at that point God offered his gift of eternal life to you. And it's still on offer today. It's still on offer tonight. How wonderful to think of God as a supplier. The one who's offering you eternal life here tonight. But what about whenever it comes to buying items and buying goods and buying these presents for Christmas? You waited long enough to see what's under some of these packages. Let's have a little look. Let's see what types of things we have received as gifts, as presents, over the past number of years. And what kind of attitudes did we have towards the gifts? So the very first gift that we have here is a mobile telephone cover for your telephone. It's a wee mobile telephone cover. If you get a brand new phone, it's one of the first things that comes into our household. It's a new cover, a little case. It can protect the sides and the back. It protects the camera. Sometimes it can protect the screen. But it's a good way to put that on your phone, just to protect it and to look after it. But how surprised I was to offer this to Lindsay on Christmas Day and for her to laugh at me and say, "Kath, what have you done? What do I want that for?" Because little did I know that all mobile phones are not the same size. All the buttons aren't in the same place, and the charging docks, they kind of move about from generation to generation. And this was the wrong size of case for the telephone. It was a gift that I had bought, a gift that I had given, but it was useless. It was just thought to be a useless gift. There was absolutely no way that Lindsay could use it on her phone. It just would not fit. I wonder if you have ever received a useless gift. I'm sure I have given plenty of them, and maybe at times I have even received them. But what about our second present? So the first present was useless, but what about getting clothes? So in our household, our son growing up, very rarely did we ever have to buy him clothes. From his near relatives and his grandparents, they always supplied him so many clothes on Christmas Day that we never had to buy him extra. He always seemed to have his wardrobe completely refreshed on that one day of the year. But every year it was the same from our son James. "What did you get me clothes for? Clothes aren't a Christmas present." I mean, does that happen in your house? Sometimes you get the clothes and your attitude is, clothes just aren't a Christmas present. You're expecting toys and Lego and action figures, and whenever you get the clothes, they just get flung to one side. No real interest in that. Our son, although he knew he needed clothes, we could say that he was ungrateful. He was ungrateful for those gifts that he would have received. Sometimes do you receive gifts and are you ungrateful for them? What about this big box that's sitting in front of us here tonight? This maybe looks a little bit unfamiliar to some of you. This is a cajon. It's a box drum. Our son, he learned to play piano in primary school. He carried it on into high school, but once he got into SU, he started to see some fellas playing there on the cajon. And he thought to himself, "I would like to try that." He began to read about the cajon. He began to watch YouTube videos. He began to find out as much as he possibly could. And we thought, wouldn't it be nice to get him a good quality instrument that he could just practice on? Maybe he could become good at it. Maybe he'd become proficient at it. He was grateful on the day. His eyes, they lit up on the day. But very quickly, the cajon got set beside the bed. He never brought it out. He never played it. He never practiced on it. It was an unappreciated gift. He didn't seem to appreciate it. And he's now made a liar out of me because just a few weeks ago, he came to our house and he picked it up and he took it to university. He's playing it in CU there, which is why we had to borrow one today. But for all of those years, it sat there unplayed, unused, as a coffee table sitting beside his bed. It was just unappreciated. But what about this little gift? I still hear, and I'm still told, that iPads are still really important gifts to receive at Christmas. Maybe some of you want them. Maybe for some of you, they're written down on your wish list. It's something which you would like, something which you would be pleased to receive. And maybe you would like this one. Until I tell you that this is actually a second-generation iPad. It's over 10 years old. You can no longer upgrade the operating system. Many of the current games and apps, they just don't work on it. Some of the older games that I had, they still don't work on it. The battery life is cut right the way down. It doesn't last very long on battery. It's not overly useful. Many people, whenever they would receive that particular iPad, their attitude would be, "I just don't want it. It's unwanted. Maybe if I was to give it to you, you would turn your nose up at it and think to yourself, that's not for me. I want the latest. I want the latest technology. I want the new iPad. I want the new iPhone. And I want the brand new laptop computer. Maybe that's your attitude towards it. Has this been your attitude towards some gifts that you have received? Maybe you wouldn't want to say it with your mouth, but maybe in your mind there are some gifts you have received and you've thought that they're useless. Some maybe you're ungrateful for them. Some they're unappreciated. Some they're unwanted. Could it be said about you that that's your attitude towards God's gift of salvation? Is that the way you think about God's gift of eternal life? Because God has told us in John 3:16 that he's offering it to you tonight. But is your attitude, I just don't believe it. See this stuff in the Bible? This is just made up. It's fairy tales. It's make-believe. It's useless. Is that your attitude towards God's word? Is that your attitude towards God's gift of salvation through Jesus? Or are you maybe ungrateful? Whenever we have read together that God's gift of salvation was earned by Jesus dying upon the cross. Jesus died on the cross, and there he took the punishment for your sin. For all the wrong things that you have done, all the wrong things that you have thought, all of your wrong actions and behaviors, Jesus, he willingly took that punishment on the cross. But maybe tonight, are you just ungrateful? I just don't care. I've heard it so many times, but I just don't really care. Maybe your attitude is, I take my chances. Whenever I die, I'm going to go into a box, I'm going to go on the ground, and that's kind of it. Life's done with. But that's not what the Bible says. But maybe in your heart and in your attitude towards God's gift of eternal life, it's just unwanted. I just don't want it. I've heard it so often. I know it in my mind, but it's just not for me. I just don't want it. Is that your attitude towards the gospel? I wonder, can we make it a wee bit more personal tonight? I want you to imagine tonight that I've got a problem with my kidneys. I've got a kidney, it's bad kidneys. The color of my skin is changing. I'm really unwell. I'm really sick and I'm dying. But out of love, you step forward and you say, Gareth, I'm prepared to give you one of my kidneys. I'm prepared to give it to you so you will have life. I'm prepared to give it to you so your life will change. You will have so much more energy. It will change everything. I'm prepared to give you that. Imagine that you went in the hospital. You lay in the operating theater. You had your kidney removed. You got sewn back up. You made a full recovery. But imagine I turned and said, I have changed my mind. I don't want your kidney. I don't want that gift that you're offering to me. I don't want that life that you can give to me. I know what you had to go through in the operating theater. I know what it's going to do to your life, but I don't care. I just don't care about that. I'm just going to get on with my life. I'll take my chances, and I'll be okay. I mean, I wonder how you would feel if that was my response to you offering your kidney to me. Surely wouldn't you be thinking to yourself, I am puzzled, I am confused why you wouldn't accept it. It is going to give you life. A better quality of life is going to change everything for you. Why are you so ungrateful? Maybe you would be sad, and maybe you would be angry. Have you ever thought to yourself, what is God's attitude? What is God's attitude whenever he is offering you salvation through Jesus, and you're just saying, I just don't care. I just don't want it. I just don't want to think about it. I've just got no interest in it. Maybe tonight we'll reprogram our thinking and maybe we'll change our attitude that we have to God's wonderful gift of salvation. Maybe you will choose to accept it and to receive it tonight. We've got another big gift here in front of us. I wonder what's underneath the wrapping paper. Let's have a little look. Oh, the Commodore 64, first computer that I ever had at home, a wonderful little gift. The PlayStation or an Xbox and an iPhone. I mean, what a wonderful gift. What a wonderful set of items. Whenever I was your age growing up, this is what I had an interest in. This is what my friends had an interest in.
Maybe if you love to play sport, maybe your friends love to play sports and you talk about sports. Maybe you're in the same sports team together. Maybe you love to read. Maybe you have some friends who also like to read. You'd love to have more friends who read so you can talk about the latest books that you're into. But me and my friends, we love gadgets and we love technology. And every December, we'd have been talking together, here's the new games that I want to get. And we'd make sure that we didn't double up so we could swap them and we could let each other borrow them. We talk about the games consoles or the computers we wanted to have access to. We wanted to make sure that we both and we all had the same console so we could play together and we could play online. We all wanted that type of thing. We followed one another. We followed one another in our ideas and our thoughts. Could it be said tonight that you're a follower? Are you just a follower? You just do what other people are doing? The Bible tells me about a man, and you call him Judas. Judas Iscariot. And he was a follower of Jesus. He was one of the 12 disciples. He blended in with everybody else. He preached about repentance. He baptized people. He spent time with the other disciples and Jesus. But yet he was a fake. He was a fraud because his life wasn't changed. He was just doing what everybody else was doing. Could it be that you go to SU, you go to Sunday school, you go to Good News Club, and there you say that you're a Christian, but yet you're not? You just say that you are. Could it be that in the friends that you spend time with, that they think that you're a Christian, but you're not? Could it be after Sunday school one day, you just sat with your Sunday school teacher because your friend wanted to be there to become a Christian, to get saved, and you just went along to see what was happening? You just followed along with everybody else. Could it be that you're just a follower tonight? You're really a fraud. You're a fake because you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You've never accepted his gift of eternal life. Are you just a follower? Two more little boxes. Lindsay, let's see what's in the next one. So music plays a predominant theme in some of the items that we get for Christmas time. And here's a wee item I received just a few years ago. It's a little bit smaller than a guitar because I thought this would be useful to take along to schools. It would be useful to take along to a Good News Club. It takes up less space in the boot of the car. It's a ukulele. And I thought to myself, I could apply my knowledge from guitar over to the ukulele, and this is going to be so much easier to work with, so much easier to throw into a box and to carry about from venue to venue. But sometimes whenever I talk about wanting to learn musical instruments, it's like this. I say, I want to learn to play the ukulele, but what I mean, I want to go to bed not able to play the ukulele, have a good night's sleep. I want to wake up the following morning and somehow I've just acquired the knowledge and the ability so I can pick it up and I can play away. I don't want to put in the hard work. I don't want to put in the effort. And therefore, very quickly, I just gave up the ukulele and I became a failure. Do you think sometimes that you're a failure? Do you ever feel as a Christian that you're a failure? Have there been times in your life whenever you've started well and you were reading the Bible and you were working your way through wee daily devotions, but then you missed a few days and you didn't come back to it again? Were there times whenever you were praying, you were talking to God, but your prayers weren't getting answered, so you just stopped praying? Did you feel like a failure? Well, let me say to you tonight, if you're a Christian, you're still the possessor of eternal life. God never takes that away, and you're never a failure in his eyes. He wants you to dust yourself off and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I haven't done the things that I know I should have done. I know I stopped coming to church. I stopped going to Sunday school. I stopped going to Good News Club. I stopped reading the Bible. I've stopped praying. I know that I was frustrated. I felt like a failure. And I'm sorry. And just pick up from where you left off doing those things, which you know that God, he wants you to do. God doesn't want you to feel like a failure. One of the last little gifts that we have here. This little gift, it's precious to me. I wonder what the most precious thing is to you. Maybe it's your mobile phone. It's become precious to you. You can't set it down. You can't do without it. Maybe it's a blanket that you received as a little baby and you've hung on to it and you won't give it up. This little bear, I got it whenever I was born. It's almost 48 years old, and it's precious to me. I don't want to give it up for anything. I wonder, is that your attitude towards God's gift of eternal life, God's gift of salvation? I wonder to you, is it precious? It tells me in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, unto you therefore who believe, he is precious. Is Jesus precious to you? Is his gift of eternal life, is it precious to you? Is the death of his son on the cross, is that precious to you? Because the last gift that we have tonight, it's still on offer to you. And I can't open it for you. I can't open it for you, and I can't give it to you. But it's offered to you tonight by Jesus. The way of salvation, it's still through him. You can still have eternal life if you repent of your sin. Tell him that you're sorry for the wrong things that you have done and put your faith and trust in him. I wonder, whenever we think about all of the things that Jesus has done for you tonight, what is your attitude towards his gift? Are you prepared to accept it and receive it? Because that would be his desire for you this evening. Let's just pray, and then we get the stage here cleared. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that the way of salvation through your son Jesus, it's still an offer to all who will believe, for all who will put their faith and trust in him, for what he has done on our behalf. Father, we thank you that you're a good God, and you saw fit to make the way of salvation through the death of your son, not through a bag of silver or gold or by emptying a bank balance, but by giving the dearest, the most precious thing that you had, an offer for salvation through your son. Father, we thank you for him tonight. We thank you that the way of salvation is still open and is still available. And I pray that there be those here tonight who would accept it with open arms, that their lives too might be changed. And maybe, Lord, too, for those who are frustrated, those who do feel like failures as Christians, Father, I just pray that you would help them tonight to dust themselves off, to get themselves back to church and Sunday school and Good News Club, to get back into your word, to get back to the place of prayer, and to rekindle that relationship with you, that relationship that you want to have with your children. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for salvation through your son. And I pray that there might be those tonight who will hear and who might believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you to Gareth for that, for reminding us, of course, of the true meaning of Christmas and of the Christmas story itself. And thank you, boys and girls, and everyone indeed, for listening so well. And I trust that it was a blessing to your heart tonight. I want to just say thank you to Miss Brown and to Miss Spires and to all Mrs. McBride too, and to all who have been a part of organizing the boys and girls to come along. And thank you to each of the parents and the families for bringing them to us tonight. And we have looked forward to this night for many a week now, and we're looking forward to hearing from the boys and girls in just a few moments. We have a bit of clearing up to do here, and so we'll take care of that before you come and you sing to us. But I just want to remind everybody that there's a cup of tea provided and just some light refreshments that you'll be able to share with us just before you go. And if you have time to stop, then it's in the hall to my left, your right, and it'll all be available there. The boys and girls from the choir are going to be dismissed to a back room, and parents, you'll be able to collect them from that just at the back left-hand corner of that hall, and some refreshments will be provided for them also, and they'll be able to make their way home then whenever you come to collect them. But we are so thankful to see each of you here tonight, and we pray indeed that the Lord will bless you and your families over this Christmas time. And on behalf of Lurgan Baptist, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and indeed a Happy New Year in the will of the Lord. But we just pray that the Lord will bless us and do us good throughout this Christmas season. And so as we come just to the end of our service, we're going to stand together to sing our final carol, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Thank you. seated. Well, this is a part that we've all been waiting on, and just before we hear from the boys and girls, I'm just going to simply close in prayer, ask for the Lord's blessing upon the food provided, and then we're going to invite the choir from Kings Park Primary to come and to close our meeting in song. And so we're thankful that you are here tonight. We're really glad that you're here, and we're looking forward to hearing from you in just a few moments. And then after they sing, we're going to sing one final carol together while they're dismissed to the back room, and then we'll all share in a supper time together, and we look forward to that. But let's just pray. Father, we thank Thee for tonight. We thank Thee for the blessings already known. We thank Thee indeed for the truth of the message of Christmas. We're thankful that there is a gift that is extended. And we pray that many there will be who receive that gift and know that forgiveness of sins, that knowledge of eternal life, and that hope that transcends time and all the circumstances of life. And so do us good now, Lord, we pray. Bless the choir as they come to sing to us. And then as we take our leave one from another in just a few moments, we pray that Thou would bless us and bless the good things that have been provided for us, and then take us to our homes in safety. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.